Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
All my bets were safe. There just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome into the latest Behind the Bets podcast. We're taping this on Thursday, December 26th. A little later in the day, we had to adjust for Murray's flight schedule. He had a red eye and came straight to work, and he's going to join us momentarily. So appreciate his efforts with the holiday. Thanks to everyone listening with the holidays as well. I know you're busy, have options, and we appreciate your taking the time to stay loyal with the downloads and all that fun stuff. Travis, how was your Christmas?
It was relaxing, low key.
Yeah. You go home tomorrow, right?
I'm going back to Ohio. I'm not actually going home in Ohio, but I'm going back. So like Christmas, I didn't do anything. Just sit at home, watch some sports, watch some movies.
Yeah.
Just relax.
It happens.
It's nice because a lot of times with holidays, you're going everywhere and you don't actually just get to enjoy it that much. So
look, I've said this a lot for people like you and I in this business. We've had to work a lot of holidays, especially Thanksgiving for me when I was doing local TV. Sometimes it's just a day on the calendar and you celebrate a different way, like a week later or a week earlier. Just you figure out ways to adjust when you work on these holidays. It just is what it is. So that's what I've had to do in the past. I actually did celebrate Christmas, but usually I'm in your shoes. So I certainly sympathize with your situation, and you'll get to go to Ohio over the weekend and watch your team play the Buckeyes.
Hopefully get a W.
Hopefully, but I'm on Clemson. So what I don't want is Clemson to win by one or two. Then nobody's happy.
Yeah, I don't want them to win by one or two either. But yeah.
No one wins.
What's crazy is, I know this is NFL pod, but today's probably the most confident I've been going into the game. I don't know why, but it just is.
Interesting. Confident.
Could change tomorrow. But I just have this weird feeling.
Okay. All right. Well, Kai had a weird feeling last year that Rutgers would beat Michigan, and that did not happen. They were huge underdogs. You have a better chance in this game
as
a 2.5-point dog.
A little better odds.
All right, let's get to it.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys at work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Kicking is for losers.
It sure is. Mr. Director, we have to get into the Bill Belichick decision to kick a field goal against the Bills, but Merry Christmas. How was your surprise trip back east?
It was good. It was good. Like I think I mentioned on the college podcast, Monday night was a little too much fun. But other than that, no regrets. It was nice seeing everybody. A nice little break before we get into some pretty busy weeks. You've got the college football playoff and week 17, and then the playoffs start. So the next 4 weeks or so are pretty darn busy.
No, they definitely are. I'm fired up. I was really just unplugged from the betting world the last couple days and really excited to get back into it. We have a bowl game that's going to start any moment here as we're taping. But let's talk NFL. And a lot of guys are eager to call us out because we're such Belichick lovers. But he had a question.
How could you not be? I mean,
right.
The guy's won 6 Super Bowls. I think he deserves a little extra rope. I didn't agree with that decision either. But who am I to? Like, when a guy's won 6 Super Bowls, I don't know that I can really question him from my armchair.
So it was very early. So 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. So it was early fourth, and he decided to kick. What was it on the fourth and goal on the 2? I didn't love it.
I
didn't hate it.
I think it was 17-13
correct
at the time, and that made it 17-16. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah. No, I didn't agree with the decision. I'm just saying that I think some people, players and coaches in sports, get to a point where they're beyond questioning. I certainly don't agree with the decision, but to be on Twitter calling out Bill Belichick about a football decision, I think would be a little silly.
That is funny. Okay, my friend, so really interesting week when you talk about week 17 here. And there's a lot of scenarios in the past, just going through sort of logistics. Do you take down the afternoon games as soon as the early games kick off?
Well, we've done that in the past, but I feel like, I mean, unless I'm missing one this year, I feel like the NFL has done a good job now of pairing the games that impact each other at the same times.
I would agree.
I remember in the past, I won't name names, but very respected bettors would do parlays that would be correlated in the sense that the late game would depend, the team's motivation in the late game would depend on the outcome of the early game. Let's say that. But I think that the league now has done a good job of eliminating that.
I agree. And all the afternoon games start at 4:25. It's not the 4:05, 4:25 kind of staggered stuff, even in the second slot. But let's talk about those contingencies, and we'll get into it, obviously, when we do our picks and things like that. By the way, closing ground on you in the bonanza.
Yeah, I didn't see much of the game Monday, but it sounds like, yet again, Kirk Cousins just laid an absolute egg in a big game. You know, it's kind of like you can't really question Belichick on anything he does. You got to blame yourself if you count on Kirk Cousins to come through in a big game. You just got to point the finger at yourself on that.
0-9 all time on Monday Night Football against
it's
the spread and straight up.
This guy, whenever it was a big game, he just completely folds.
I would say the offensive line was really folding as well. I thought he.
Oh, they.
It was
what I saw,
really
I agree with you. But would you say all nine times that it happened, it's been somebody else's fault? I mean, I didn't see a whole lot of the game. I was out on the town with the boys, but yeah, I mean, I'm sure it wasn't just his fault, but certainly there seems to be a trend there.
Okay, so let's get to the first game on the card. It's an afternoon game, Tennessee at Houston. Texans are locked in. It's actually, I shouldn't say that. So the Texans need the Chiefs to lose in order to have any improvement in their seeding, and they would be between the third and the fourth seed. So it's not really a huge advantage to be the third seed versus the fourth seed, unless Pittsburgh gets in.
And this is the one scenario where I think the Texans game is at 1:25 and the Chiefs game is in the morning.
Correct.
So this is the one time where you could argue that there is something to play for. I don't know that if I was Houston, I wouldn't be playing my guys no matter what Kansas City does in the morning on Sunday. But they're saying that they're going to play these guys, and that's why you've seen this number move down from 6.5 all the way down to 3.5.
It's the most compelling line movement. That's what I was getting to, is the Tennessee's favorite here in Houston. And teams can say one thing and do another also. They might be playing coy to a certain extent.
True, but I should also tell you that last year Dallas was saying that they were going to play all their guys. If you remember that Week 17 game at the Giants, and we didn't believe them. We didn't believe them at all, and they did. And I think Dak Prescott even threw a late touchdown pass to steal that game in New York. So you just never know, and we don't know either. We don't know what these teams are planning on doing.
Right. Okay, so I kind of lean Titans there just because I've been backing them all year, and I lean the over again. I think they've been in a lot of shootouts since Mariota took over since Tannehill took over for Mariota. I think one of the games have gone under. So it was two games ago, and then last week went back to the over. But, okay, Cleveland at Cincinnati. This is compelling. First of all, I'll save that for another game. Since he's got the one pick locked up, amazing comeback, forced overtime, a lot of fun, but they get the loss. So now they're hosting the Browns, who've just been a disaster. And it, for me, as crazy as it sounds, with such a short number of 2.5, it's Cincy or pass.
Yeah, well, Cincinnati finally doesn't have any reason to want to lose. So there's nothing holding you back from betting on the Bengals here. Most people are betting the Browns, but my guess would be their logic is nothing more than the Browns are favored and they're a cheap road favorite and they've got a better win-loss record. And the public loves plays like that. So it's shaping up to be a small decision for us on the Bengals.
Well, it's hard to justify taking a team that's won one game all year only getting 2.5. But that's the side I lean. I would need more points to truly get involved.
Yeah, it's hard to – a tough game to get involved in, really, because you don't know the motivation on either side in this game.
Agreed. Chicago at Minnesota. This game's really intriguing. So Minnesota's got nothing to play for, right? And because they played on Monday night, we haven't really got firm announcements on what they're planning to do in terms of the playoffs the following week. But Vikes lane one here at home.
Yeah, I can tell you the bettors are not waiting for anything. This is already one of our most lopsided take accounts of the week. Everybody's on the Vikings. I don't know if maybe the public doesn't realize that the game really has no meaning for the Vikings. Everyone's betting Minnesota like crazy here. Minnesota probably should rest some guys. I think they're going to be I know they'll be on the road. It sounds like they'll be at New Orleans in all likelihood next weekend. I don't see any reason to play any of these their principal key guys, and certainly they've got some guys banged up in their backfield. Seems like a good week to get some guys some rest.
We've talked a lot about how the public is just a much more intelligent fan now than they were back in the day. You really think there's the public does not accounting for some funny business potentially in a Week 17 game?
I don't know why else there would be such a lopsided ticket count on the game unless there's something I'm missing. I've been out of town myself the last few days, but I don't know why everybody would be rushing to bet on a team that has nothing to play for.
All right, fair enough. Indy at Jacksonville. This brings back fond memories of our bet long time ago. The worst record in the league, right? We had to sweat this one out.
One of the great bets of all time, really. Yeah. Classic Week 17 gambling moment there, 2012. Or 2011.
Indy at Jacksonville, 3.5 road favorite here with the Colts.
Yeah, and the public's all over the Colts here, and I would imagine their thought process is the same as the Browns, the reason why they're betting the Browns in the game at Cincinnati. I can't disagree with the public on this one, though. I mean, I thought the Colts really looked like a team that was playing hard last week. And Jacksonville, you know, we've been saying for a while, they don't seem to be showing much here down the stretch. I can tell you the book is going to be rooting for the Colts. We'd like to see them get that eighth win in the NFL season win totals market. That'd be very good for us here. So we'll be rooting for Indianapolis on Sunday for season-long stuff, unless we take a huge rush of Indianapolis money for Week 17, of course. Now it's just small bets.
My big action last week was the Falcons. I had them in my eliminator. I had them minus the 7 in Bonanza. And it was fading this Jacksonville team. I didn't put a lot of stock in that win at the black hole. And, of course, the Jags got a little hairy at times. Obviously, Matt Ryan threw a pick, and then goal line stand was needed to cover the spread. But this Jags team stinks, and they've stunk for a couple months now, aside from that one fluke win against the Raiders. So I think, for me, it's got to be the Colts or pass.
Yeah, it'd be tough to bet on Jacksonville right now. And like I said, the Colts look like they are playing hard here the last couple weeks, but it seems like every time we say a team's playing hard or a team has quit, the exact opposite happens the next weekend. So it's just,
well, that's the NFL.
It's hard. It's all speculation. And I think it's important that the listeners out there understand that.
And the
it's really just speculation.
Yeah, you're
no
right,
one can give you more than speculation.
But the reason the Colts played so hard last week is because they were absolutely embarrassed the week before on Monday night. So it was a good spot.
Oh, I understand that.
Yeah.
I understand. It was definitely a good spot. And the Panthers were starting a rookie quarterback on the road. Last week was definitely a good spot to get behind the Colts.
All right. Here we go. Barn burner in Tampa. Pick 'em game. Atlanta and Tampa. I'm on the over here.
Yeah, we really missed having a Bucs game last Sunday. You know, we settled in on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We put the games on in front of our respective workstations, and Ed Sammons and I didn't know what to do because we didn't have a Jameis Winston game to watch. We'll be excited to have him back. I know that'll be front and center for us on Sunday morning. Split action on this game here. Really no decision at all. We got the game at Pick'em, the total at 47.5. The only thing I can guarantee is it's going to be fun.
That's a fact. It will be fun. And he threw a pick. I think it was the first pass attempt, if I'm not mistaken.
He threw a pick that was returned for a touchdown before I even knew the game had started. I'd been called into the back office to talk to Jake Hornigay about something.
Are you okay?
I didn't even know the game had started. No.
Ooh, you're in trouble, Billy Madison.
That'd be funny, but no. I didn't even know the game had started, and Jameis had already thrown one that was returned the other way. That's why I love Jameis. He's the most exciting man in the NFL.
You're not joking with that. You really love him in that regard.
I don't know how you could not be entertained by him. I mean, I think it's great. He's really so good is the funny thing. I mean, he's a guy that's capable of throwing for 400 yards with both of his receivers out. But he also makes these just ridiculous mistakes. I think it's fun to watch. It's just a roller coaster ride.
Okay, I'm on the over 47.5. It looks like there's some 48s, and there's actually one 47. So I'll be on that for the bonanza, it looks like. Washington at Dallas. Now, this is amazing what the Cowboys are doing here, but they're laying 11. I know Case Keenum's playing, but come on.
Yeah, we're down to 10.5. Dallas, obviously, they take the field and thinking that they can still make the playoffs. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens if obviously they're going to be watching that Giants-Eagles score. Whether they say they are or not, they will be. I guess maybe if the Eagles get out to a big lead, the Cowboys would back off. But they're one of the teams that takes the field needing a win in Week 17. And that's why you see a little bit of an inflated number in this game.
And we've talked about it. And Preston Johnson on the TV show had a great stat. Week 16 and 17, teams that are eliminated playing teams that are in must wins, taking the dog is like actually like such. It's like 65% or something ridiculous.
That doesn't – 65% is really high. But it makes sense, though, that they would cover more often than not because the numbers are inflated. And the Redskins, I don't think there's a big difference between Haskins and Keenum. And I know that they'll be motivated to try to win that game and officially end the Dallas season.
So I'm glad we're on this game because it doesn't happen in the NFL. So I have no reason to think it would start happening this Sunday. But there's all these like three-win teams. Like the draft implications are very staggering. Like we established the Bengals are already the one seed, but I mean, why would these teams want to win is my question.
Well, if the Bengals are sold on drafting Joe Burrow, then whoever gets the second pick can decide if they want to take Jerry Jeudy, take Chase Young, or hope that another team falls in love with another quarterback and offers them a bundle of picks to move up. That second overall pick just becomes so valuable. And I believe the Redskins would have it if they lose this game, which they probably will.
So it's just, so you have the Redskins and Lions at three wins. Although Lions are 3-11-1. So they have,
they got a tie. Yeah.
And then Dolphins and Giants at four wins. It's just, look, all these teams have impressed me over the years that they don't tank. But
yeah, and Miami winning that game against the Bengals, I mean, I know in the moment they were happy about it, but what if they fall in love with a quarterback during the draft process and they've got to use some of these other picks they've acquired to trade up in the draft to the spot that they would have just been in if they'd lost that game?
Right.
I mean, long term, not a good move. I understand that the players are out there trying to win. I get it. But it's not good for the franchise for them to be closing so strong here. I mean, I'm pretty sure they're going to lose on Sunday and finish 4-12, but that's three or four more wins than it looked like they were going to get.
Yeah, so I'm on the Redskins plus 11, probably in the bonanza as well. That's just too many points for a Cowboys team that's fragile. And frankly, Dak, just like I thought, the shoulder looked hurt.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's why, our book was very aggressive in how we booked that game on Sunday. We won a lot on the Eagles because we believed Dak to be hurt more than Dallas was letting on. And even though he did make some pretty good throws on Sunday, I think we did get that one right.
I agree. I don't think people were so accustomed to thinking a guy's fine. We just are so trained. Like, every surgery is successful. Very important to distinguish what they're saying versus what the actual case is.
Absolutely.
Okay. Keep it moving here. Let's skip a game. Let's go straight to the other game that's obviously hinging on that. So Philly's 4.5 at the Giants. And clearly a game that obviously the Eagles win. They control their own destiny. Little bit of a flat spot for the Giants. All that flip cup for the quarterbacks and this crew. I don't know for the Giants what kind of mental focus they'll have.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to believe the Giants would love to knock Philadelphia out of the postseason.
Yes.
Right? I mean, that's a pretty bitter rivalry. Now, of course, if they do that, they'll be letting the Cowboys into the postseason, which is also a bitter rivalry. But they're only going to be worried about that team in front of them on Sunday. And I think the Giants will be pretty motivated to win this game. They've already probably lost that second overall pick with their win last Sunday. And I don't see any reason why they wouldn't be all out for this one.
That would make a lot of sense.
The money is coming in on the Giants, too, and this number has been bet down to 4.5. Ticket count's pretty split, but it looks to be one of the more, maybe even the most heavily bet game of the week, obviously until we get to that Sunday night game, of course. But there is a lot of money in the pool on that game, which is a little unusual because a lot of these games, there's really not a lot to report from behind the counter so far this week. And we're taping the show on Thursday afternoon, which is a little bit later than we usually do it.
Correct. Good point. Okay, let's go back to the game I skipped over. New Orleans at Carolina. Saints kind of need to win, and I think they get the first round bye, I think it is. Have a chance at a higher seed, I believe, depending on the Niners game. I'm a little confused on some of that, but yeah.
Well, I know they need to win.
Play for here with the Saints, but 13, laying 13 on the road here.
The Saints are going to take the field wanting to win. I don't know the exact scenario either, to tell you the truth, but I know that they want to win the game. They care to win the game. Everybody's on the Saints. Carolina is going to be one of our bigger needs of the morning. Right now the Saints are a 13-point favorite. Carolina just sort of a lost season for the Panthers, and New Orleans will certainly be all in for a chance at a bye here.
And no sharp action to report?
Nothing that I would consider sharp. Just all the public players are on New Orleans, and New Orleans is going to be in every parlay, every money line parlay this weekend.
Okay. All right. How can they not? That makes sense. This is a trap game for me. Do not bet the Steelers. At least that's my advice. I don't care that Lamar Jackson's out. I just think Pittsburgh's not very good. And to be lane two on the road here, Baltimore would love to keep him out of the playoffs. I think the Ravens win.
Well, if you watched Duck Hodges on Sunday, then you certainly wouldn't want to be betting on anything near Duck Hodges right now. He was brutal in that game. I don't disagree with you. I mean, you could make a case that the Ravens reserve team, or whatever you want to call this group of the Ravens, is still better than the Steelers with Duck Hodges at quarterback. And the guys that are in the game, they're not going to want to lose. They're going to try to win this game.
Low total, 37.5, 38, which is typical for Pittsburgh games. They almost all go, yeah. I think they have the most unders of any team in the NFL this year.
I will tell you, it's about a 3-1 count here on the Baltimore Ravens, who, like we established before, don't have anything to play for. So that I think that's a little bit interesting, but I agree with you. I'd be careful betting Pittsburgh here. Baltimore's backups could certainly go out there and beat the Steelers.
And you said 3-1 ticket count, not money count, right?
Yeah, just ticket count.
Jets-Buffalo. The Bills are playing their starters, but we don't know for how long, right?
Yeah, and this game is exactly like the Vikings-Bears game we talked about earlier. It's funny. Everybody is on the favorite team that's headed to the playoffs that has nothing to play for, and it kind of makes me think, do these people not understand that they don't have anything to play for? I'm not even saying that in a joking way. I don't know why everybody would be running to bet on the Bills here, -1.5, when not only are they in the playoffs, their seeding is set. They're going to be the number 5 seed. They've got absolutely nothing on the line in this game. I don't see any reason why Josh Allen and some of those key defensive players would play into the second half of this game.
The Jets are bad, though, too. Like, they're dysfunctional.
Yeah, tough game to get involved in. I will say this, though. If the Jets win this game, I think they finish 7-9. And I would argue that's pretty impressive considering the whole Sam Darnold mono thing at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And the fact that their coach is a complete knucklehead.
Well, that too.
I think that would speak very, very well of the front office and the roster that they've assembled there.
Yeah. No, I mean, you got to throw out the games where they had like second and third string quarterback. It was just so putrid. I mean, their second stringers actually played for like a quarter. Trevor Siemian before breaking.
I mean, if they win this game, what's their record at the end of the year with Sam Darnold at quarterback? At 500 or even above 500? Which, with Adam Gase coaching, I would argue is pretty impressive.
They might bring him back.
Yeah, it sounds like Gase and Kitchens are going to get a second season, and I disagree with each of those two decisions, personally.
Fact. I do, too. Miami catching 15.5 at New England. That feels like too many points.
Well, it does, because New England, as I've said repeatedly this year, can't really score the ball. I mean, New England did play well against Buffalo. That was a very good game plan, and Brady executed it well. That was the best he's looked in months, but even with that, they only scored 24 points. We're going to need Miami here, but I don't think it's going to be a huge decision because the public doesn't love laying these really, really big numbers. 15.5 is a big number when you've got a team that can't really score.
Yeah, I think, you know, this Miami offense is frisky at times.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, Fitzpatrick has played great this year, really.
He's a maniac. It's awesome.
Yeah. In all seriousness, he's played great considering the hand he's been dealt with an organization, a front office that didn't want to win games this year. I give Fitzpatrick a lot of credit for the season he's had. It's been very impressive, really.
Yeah, no, so 15.5 on a total of 45. So you're looking at like a 14-point team total for the Dolphins.
Yeah, and it, even though we just got done praising Fitzpatrick, but New England is very, very sound offensively, and they need this win to secure that first-round bye. So it's a lot to ask of Fitzpatrick here in Week 17 on the road.
For sure. But still, there's the back door and all that fun stuff. Green Bay.
Well, yeah, and when you lay – that's a great point. I'm sorry. When you lay big numbers, you almost can't complain when the other team gets in the back door. Because you're the one that decided to lay 15.5 points.
Yeah, it's part of the equation. We're seeing that with the national semifinal with Oklahoma and LSU. That's obviously on the table because that's what happened last year with Alabama and Oklahoma in the national semifinals.
Absolutely.
Okay, my friend, big win for the Packers on Monday night. It hurts your bonanza. Yeah. The number did come down, so it wasn't like a total square dog, reverse line movement kind of thing. You guys took a bath, though, on that, I imagine?
Yeah, we lost on the game. The public was definitely on Green Bay in that game. I wouldn't call it a bath, but it wasn't a good result for us. The public was definitely backing the Packers. But there were some guys I respect that were on the Packers in that game, too. So I wouldn't call it just an out-and-out square dog play.
Gotcha. All right, so here it's a big number. Obviously, the Pack get a – I think it's a bye if they win.
If they win, they get a first-round bye. Right. If they win and the 49ers lose, they would be the number one seed.
Right. You're laying
12
and a half.
So it's a critical game for the Packers, yeah. It's a huge game.
I think
game.
It's got blowout written all over it, doesn't it? At Detroit, Rodgers just carving up this team on the fast track.
I can see it. I can tell you it looks right now, other than obviously the Cardinals-Rams game, which is off the board, it looks like there's less money on this game than any other game on the board. Hmm. So people are not in a rush to lay the points with Green Bay, but I certainly expect that to change between now and Sunday morning. And Green Bay money line will be in every parlay. With people knowing that a win secures the Packers a first-round bye, every money line parlay is going to have the Packers in it.
That has to have it. I can just see the the number doesn't feel high enough for Kansas City laying 9 against the Chargers. I mean, it's a big number. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know, man. Chargers are pretty inept.
Yeah, we've gone up from 7.5 all the way to 9 on this game. Very, very lopsided ticket count. No one is looking to bet on the Chargers. And Kansas City with a win here, they clinched the 3 seed. But more importantly, if Miami could somehow beat New England, Kansas City's got the tiebreaker on New England, so they would move into that that number 2 seed. The one thing that would concern me if I was looking to bet on Kansas City would be if the Patriots had a big lead, would Kansas City consider pulling back a little bit?
Hmm.
I don't know. I don't know how important that they consider the number 3 seed to be. I mean, if I was Kansas City, I'd much rather be the 3 seed and play my second playoff game in New England than in Baltimore. I know that for sure.
Right.
So maybe they do consider the number 3 seed to be very important.
But Mahomes is banged up all year, so
yeah.
Health is obviously a priority as well.
If New England got up 28-0, which isn't even that far-fetched, they're a 15.5-point favorite, and the bye is off the table, are we sure that Kansas City would leave Mahomes and all the key guys in the game? I don't know.
Hmm. Very interesting. And it's the early. Both of those games are early, obviously. That is compelling. You mentioned Rams off the board right now. That's pretty recent going off the board, right? Because I saw some 7.5s. I've seen some 4s. And obviously hinging on Kyler Murray's status. But we also don't know what the Rams are going to do.
Well, I think it actually hinges even more on what the Rams are doing. I mean, I've read some things that it sounds like they're not planning to – they might not play a lot of their guys in this game. I mean, I can tell you that we did have to come up with a Super Contest line yesterday. Super Contest numbers come out every Wednesday. And even though this game is off the board here, we had to come up with something, and we made the Rams a 3-point favorite in this game, thinking that some of these key guys for L.A. are not going to play on Sunday.
Oh, that is tough. Do we know about Kyler Murray?
I don't think it's official yet, as far as I know.
He's not going to play, right?
I don't see why they would play him, to be honest with you. Why would you possibly risk what is by far your number one asset as an organization if you're the Arizona Cardinals? I don't see why he would play in this game.
Yeah, that's an ugly game I want no part of.
But no action on this game. We haven't had betting on the game all week. No bets to report. Super Contest number 3, and that's kind of where we think it'll be around if all these guys don't play, which is the number we made. We made this number based on all these guys not playing, Murray and several key Rams starters.
Yeah, that's – you're playing with fire unless you get a good report like right before kickoff about everything and you want to make, back Blake Bortles or whatever. But that is –
it's a tough one, man. This is it's classic Week 17,
this is
though.
I mean,
it's not like – yeah, exactly. That's perfectly put. It's just like the exhibition games. Who's playing? Keep refreshing Twitter because nobody really knows.
Right. Well, we do know that both teams are going for this one. Sunday Night Football, obviously flexed. Awesome game. Niners at the Seahawks. They played on Monday night in one of the better games of the year. Ended in a tie. Or could have ended in a tie, excuse me. And did not Seahawks win. I think they each
should have ended in a tie.
Right. And yeah. Niners had those drops. They had all the makings of a blowout. Niners are up to 3.5 at some spots. A lot of juice on the threes out there in the market. So it's for me, it's Niners or pass.
Yeah, we opened it 49ers minus 3 even, and everybody's on the 49ers. We went to 3.5. Now we're at – I'm sorry, went to 3 minus 110, excuse me. Then we went to 3.5 even money, 49ers minus 3.5 even money. It's about a 3.5-to-1 ticket count on the 49ers, and I think what you're going to see here is all these parlays that build up through the week going to San Francisco on Sunday night. In fact, I'm pretty confident about that. And Seattle is very literally just pulling guys out of the tailgate to play running back, I've seen. So I don't know how they're going to be able to run the football effectively. I know Dwayne Brown is also hurt for the Seahawks. So it's a lot to ask of the of Russell Wilson going up against this very, very good San Francisco defense with so many of his key teammates on offense out of the lineup.
You know, this Seahawks team is all these like fortunate wins, one-score games.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fast. I mean, Marshawn Lynch, are we supposed to expect him to be good?
I thought the 49ers were kind of fortunate to win on Saturday against the Rams. Obviously, you're right about Seattle overall this season. They've had a bunch of lucky wins, but I thought San Francisco was pretty lucky to escape that game on Saturday night.
That's fair. Rams played well.
Yeah, they did.
I don't know, man. It's
but this is a great game because both teams have everything to play for, and they're both going to be they both should be going for it, and they both will be going for it, and they've been two of the better teams in the league all season, so it was a pretty easy one to flex this Sunday night. The only problem is when you get a game like this, we can't get up all the playoff numbers until the end of the night, which is a little annoying, but
right.
It's part of the deal.
Right.
Part of the deal.
And I'm apprehensive because it's such a public play, but I can't take the Seahawks in this spot. I just can't.
Well, they're a very banged-up team. It's going against a great defense with a great coach. So even though they are at home, you're right. I can see where you're coming from with that.
What do you think it closes?
But it's hard for me to – I can't really act like there's any value on the 49ers laying more than a field goal on the road, though. I think 3.5. I don't think it's going to get to 4. It's already pretty inflated the way it is right now. I think the only way it would get to 4 is if the public just cleaned up on Sunday afternoon and evening.
I think it does get to 4.
Well, it's possible. I mean, you know who's going to be in all these moneyline parlays.
Right.
And they're all going to be going to the 49ers. So if all those teams are winning, then it might happen. And that starts on Saturday, by the way. Because you've got two extremely high-profile college football games Saturday. They're going to start off a lot of these moneyline parlays to Sunday.
Yeah, it's a good point. I overlooked that, the connection of the college and pro. Interesting.
Well, there'll be a lot of parlays that go with LSU, Clemson, and a bunch of NFL games. I can tell you that much for sure.
More with John Murray in a moment, but first, a word from DraftKings. If you missed out on the playoffs, the good news is you don't have to feel left out. Get your fantasy fix with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy. And if you've never played before, there's even more good news. New users can get a free shot at over $1 million in prizes with your first deposit. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, throw, and catch mean more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Just draft your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching the game quite like having a shot at over $1 million in prizes. And be sure to check out the newest game mode, Flash Draft. Now you can draft a new team for a single quarter of a live football game. Download the DraftKings app now and use code Doug. That's D-O-U-G. New users enter code Doug at sign up to get a free shot at over $1 million in prizes with your first deposit. That's code Doug to get a free shot at over $1 million in prizes with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. One final game on the card. Oakland and Denver. Broncos are laying 3.5 here.
Yeah, and everybody's betting Oakland. Obviously, the news has come out that Oakland still could theoretically make the playoffs. We've all seen that graphic, I'm sure.
Right.
They need four things to go their way. Denver really with nothing to play for, so it's actually a pretty lopsided ticket count to the Raiders here. And that number's come down from 4.5 to 3.5 minus 20 on Oakland.
Yeah.
We saw this one year. I mean, if you remember that year the Chiefs made the playoffs when they needed like six things to happen the last Sunday, their coach was Herman Edwards, and just everything went their way, and they actually made the playoffs, and then the next week they just got smoked by the Colts in Indianapolis. I forget what year it was, but it was very similar to this.
Look, crazy stuff happened last week for the Raiders to be in this position.
It's not that impossible that it could happen. None of the games that they need are like it's not like they need a 15.5 point underdog like the Dolphins to win.
Right. Interesting. Okay. So it doesn't sound like you're expecting much line movement in any of these games.
Well, there will be if stuff comes out that guys are or are not playing. And it's just impossible for me to speculate on that. I mean, you never know. There could be an announcement from the Texans that they've thought better of it and they're just going to sit everybody and be the four seed. I don't know if that's going to happen, but certainly if it did, it would change everything.
Right, right. All right, my man, you ready for the bonanza?
I guess. I mean, yeah, we cue the music up. I don't know. We'll see.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
The Prince of Props did not deliver. And you lose on the bikes as well.
I was with him on Monday night. And I can't even tell you how many times he asked me after the game if the play had won or lost. He wasn't in a great frame of mind. And he kept being like, "Do we win?" It's like, "No, dude, it lost. The play lost." "Oh, man. Sorry, man." It's okay. I immediately forgave him.
That's good.
Kirk Cousins is just such a choker. You got to be careful hitching your wagon to Kirk Cousins, man.
So what was it? Stephon Diggs over receiving yards?
Yeah, Diggs over. Diggs had a nice touchdown catch in the first half, and I don't think he made a catch in the second half. If he did, I don't remember it.
Yeah, not a lot of offense.
And I've spent all this time ripping on Cousins, but give a lot of credit to Green Bay's defense. They overhauled their defensive unit in the offseason with some free agent moves, two first-round picks spent on the defensive side of the ball, and it's paid major dividends for them this year because Aaron Rodgers hasn't really been Aaron Rodgers this season. And this is a team that's still most likely going to have a first-round bye. So give a lot of credit to the Packers defensively.
I agree. And they've really dominated the trenches. It wasn't just all on Cousins, although he did look really weak at times. I was impressed with a lot of things.
I don't disagree at all.
So, good job by them. Good job by them, all things considered. Okay, so I won with the Falcons, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast. I'm not loving this card, and I don't feel like a chicken because we still have the playoffs to go. So I'm okay just dipping my toe in and giving a few plays, but it's not embarrassing per se because it is week 17 and very complicated. So I'll let you go on the T-box first. You're still the overall leader.
Yeah, I'm just going to go. I'm going to very, very lightly dip my toe in. I agree with you, what you said earlier in the show about the Redskins. So I'm just going to make a $500 play on the Redskins plus 11. I think the number's a little bit inflated. I don't trust Dak Prescott's throwing arm. And I like I said, I think the number's a little bit too high, but I really don't like anything this week either. So I'll just quietly put in a 500 play on the Washington Redskins plus 11, and then we get out of the way and start. I got to regroup for the playoffs, man.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, you do, buddy. Let me back in it. Let me back
in. We got 4 weeks of playoff football. There's a long way to go here.
But I was left for dead. All right, this is what I'm going to do. You always kind of poke the bear. So I'm going to dip my toe in. I'll do a $200 wager on the Titans game over 45.5.
Okay.
There's 145 in the market, but 45.5 is consensus.
Right? Okay.
There's 145.5 in the market, so we don't have to worry about that.
I'm looking at it. Let me pull it up right now. There's a 45 at William Hill here in Nevada, and at the Mirage.
All right.
And at the Coast.
Okay.
And at stations. There's a lot of 45s in town.
Okay.
I think we got to give you a 45 here. There's four Nevada books on this screen here have 45. We got to give you 45.
Okay. So I'll go 300 on that.
So an extra $100 because of that half point?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you why. And I'm also going to do, because you're done, right? Like, you're out?
Very done. I'm done in more ways than one. But go ahead.
I'll do 3 dimes on... Ooh. San Francisco -3.5.
Okay.
And we're going to set up for a live wager to play back and go for the middle. And hopefully my $300 win on the Titans over will cover the juice. That's the theory, thought process.
It is 3.5 even money. Ooh. So that'll be 3,000 to win 3,000. You know me, I'm an honest man.
You are an honest man. So, yeah, San Fran -3.5. Don't at me. I know they don't like San Fran in the city of San Francisco, but it doesn't really bother me.
I didn't even know that, actually.
Yeah.
They don't?
Yeah. VaTech. Do not use VaTech. I did that once when they're storming the court. I was hosting a post-game show in the studio, and I referred to them as VaTech. It's like in the game notes, like, don't call us VaTech. We're Virginia Tech. And I respect
my
that.
My brother went to Virginia Tech. I don't know that. I can't even remember him saying that to me.
He's
very moody when it comes to Virginia Tech football. I'm going to ask him, though. But he's still, like, even over Christmas – he wasn't congratulating relatives of ours that have ties to Virginia. It was very sad. And then I called him out on it in front of everybody. I'm like, dude, we won the World Series. And he bristled at that. He's still very bitter about that Virginia Tech, Virginia situation.
Hmm. Interesting.
But I'll poke the bear, and I'll see how he feels about VaTech.
I'm siding with his brother on this one. It's a rivalry, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, but they won 16 times in a row. We just won the World Series.
You can't take the baseball over to football, though.
Yeah, that's true. But I guess my thought process, Travis, is I feel like he's looking at us like he expects us to feel sorry for him that they lost, and I don't feel sorry for him at all.
Okay, I'm with you on that one.
I mean, it's 16. I think it was 16 in a row or something like that. Like my brother-in-law.
Well, how would you feel about the backyard brawl? Like if Pitt had won, would you be wanting to congratulate people?
No, I wouldn't congratulate anybody.
There you go. That's, I think, the apples to apples of your brother.
Yeah. I just like picking on my brother. But my brother-in-law, he went to Virginia, and he said that the last time they won was his freshman year in Charlottesville. So, I mean, it was hard not to be happy for him finally getting to see them beat Virginia Tech.
That's true. All right. I'm glad Travis weighed in. The voice of reason.
No, I don't – that's fine. And Travis is right. And I look forward to Michigan finally beating Ohio State so I can poke the bear with Travis.
First of all, it's a school. Although it's a school up north. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, good. We probably won't even be doing the show by then. By the time Michigan finally beats Ohio State, that technology will have graduated past the podcasts.
All right, Murray. Good stuff as always. Welcome back to Vegas. The big rush of action is starting, and it's good to get you on the pod to discuss all this. And we'll touch base next week for two podcasts starting Monday, another college football podcast.
We got 4 big weeks in a row. This week we got the college football playoff week 17. Then we got wild card weekend. Then we got the divisional weekend plus the national championship game. And then we got the Conor McGregor fight paired with the AFC and NFC championship games. So it's 4 consecutive just monster weekends out here. So we'll have a lot to talk about here.
Okay. Great stuff as always, my man.
All right, buddy. All right. I'll talk to you later.
This has been Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, that's going to do it for this podcast. No Mike Clay, not a lot of props out, just given the wonky rosters and things like that. So just Murray and I today, and then we'll get Mike Clay back out for some props in the postseason. Travis, good stuff as always. You got any action this weekend? You like these Week 17 funkiness?
Like I said, I'm worried about another game on Saturday.
I know.
I'm not worried about NFL.
Your focus
right now
is elsewhere.
Listen, I'm a Cowboys fan, but at this point with the Cowboys, I'm done with them. So just, I don't care. Just, you want to lose, lose. Sure. Whatever.
And maybe your worlds collide with Urban Meyer going to coach Dallas.
I would love that. I don't know how that would work with him and Jerry. I'd rather have, I think, like a Lincoln Riley or Matt Rhule.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, if Urban would go, I'll take it. But I just don't know how him and Jerry would work.
Yeah, we'll see.
But, hey, crazier things have happened.
All right, thanks to everyone. As I mentioned, we'll have a podcast early next week for college football and then later in the week like we usually do the NFL. So thanks to everyone. We appreciated your loyal listenership throughout this NFL regular season. Let's keep it rolling through the playoffs.